You know, we're at a point in the year where there are all sorts of different salutations going on, right? You know, you have Merry Christmas, you have Happy Hanukkah, and so those are beyond us now. Now, what's the next one? Happy New Year. And we say that to everyone, and it's a good thing to say. We say it to total strangers. We don't know them, they don't know us, but it's Happy New Year. Well, I don't want you, I'm not going to wish you a Happy New Year, okay? I wish you a joyful New Year. And I want you to know, I believe there's a difference there. You see, I think if I wished you a Happy New Year, I'm part of setting you up for some really discouraging things ahead. Some very disappointing things. Because see, happiness is totally contingent on other things. Happy New Year. Boy, I hope this job, I get this promotion. Happy New Year. I hope my health will be good. Happy New Year. I hope my kids will be all right. Happy New Year. I hope this relationship, where all of these things, it's like, man, for me to be happy, those need to come into play. So I'm not going to do that and set you up. What I would like for you and myself to experience is a joyful New Year. You know, it's amazing. In Hebrews, the 12th chapter, it says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame. The joy set before Jesus, he faced the most intense, traumatic event of his existence. Now, I don't know what your tough times are. I don't know what your trauma is. We all have it. We have things we're still recovering from. You know why? Because in this world, there is pain, there is anxiety, there is doubt, and there is trauma. And all of your hopes and your fears that are tied to those become a slave to those. It's like, oh my gosh, if this doesn't work out, I have all these plans. What if you get a diagnosis? Well, God, you're not fair. He's very fair. I never pray for him to be fair. I'd be gone in a minute. God be fair. Do you know how many times he's been gracious to me? Do you know how many times? In fact, I'm here talking to you as an act of grace. Oh, thank you, Lord, for not being fair. Joyful New Year. John 15, verse 11. Jesus makes a statement. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Jesus is saying to us, he wants his joy to be in us. That same joy that could face the cross and say, it's all going to be okay. What I'm about to go through is beyond description, but it is going to be okay because God is. And I belong to God. That type of confidence, they can look at all of this and not give up in despair, discouragement, or whining, but say, it will be fine. No matter how hard it gets, it will be fine. That's a joy. That's a joy. That's a confidence that we all crave, we all want, but we get distracted and go after happiness, and so now it's all contingent on everything else. I want the joy of Jesus to be in each one of us. That's what I want for this new year. I want us to take this new year, and when the good times come, they're good, and let's enjoy it. When the bad times come, hallelujah anyway. Because we will get through this too. Because it's not what's going around us that counts, it's who lives within us that matters. I want that. Now, he says this to his disciples, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. What did he tell his disciples so that they could have his joy? Let's back up and let's listen to the word of God. John chapter 15 and in verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. While every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Let's read it again in the Amplified Version. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Any branch in me that does not bear fruit, that stops bearing, he cuts away, trims off, takes away. And he cleanses and repeatedly prunes every branch that continues to bear fruit to make it bear more and richer and more excellent fruit. You are cleansed and pruned already because of the word I have given you, the teachings I have discussed with you. Dwell in me and I will dwell in you. Live in me, and I will live in you. Just as no branch can bear fruit of itself without abiding in, being vitally united to, the vine, neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever lives in me and I in him bears much, abundant fruit. However, apart from me, cut off from vital union with me, you can do nothing. If a person does not dwell in me, he is thrown out like a broken off branch and withers. Such branches are gathered up and thrown into the fire and they are burned. If you live in me, abide vitally united to me, and my words remain in you and continue to live in your hearts, ask whatever you will and it shall be done for you. When you bear, produce more fruit, much fruit, my Father is honored and glorified, and you show and prove yourselves to be true followers of mine. I have loved you just as the Father has loved me. Abide in my love. Continue in his love with me. If you keep my commandments, if you continue to obey my instructions, you will abide in my love and live on in it, just as I have obeyed my Father's commandments and live on in his love. I have told you these things that my joy and delight may be in you, and that your joy and gladness may be of full measure and complete and overflowing. Again, listen to the word of the Lord in the Message version. I am the real vine, and my Father is the farmer. He cuts off every branch of me that does not bear grapes. And every branch that is grape-bearing, he prunes back so it will bear even more. You are already pruned back by the message I have spoken. Live in me. Make your home in me just as I do in you. In the same way that a branch can't bear grapes by itself, but only by being joined to the vine, you can't bear fruit unless you are joined with me. I am the vine, you are the branches. When you're joined with me and I with you, the relation, intimate and organic, the harvest is sure to be abundant. Separated, you can't produce a thing. Anyone who separates from me is dead wood, gathered up and thrown on the bonfire. But if you make yourselves at home with me and my words are at home in you, you can be sure that whatever you ask will be listened to and acted upon. This is how my Father shows who he is when you produce grapes, when you mature as my disciples. I've loved you the way my Father has loved me. Make yourselves at home in my love. If you keep my commands, you'll remain intimately at home in my love. That's what I've done, kept my Father's commands and made myself at home in his love. I've told you these things for a purpose, that my joy might be your joy, and your joy wholly mature. This is my command, love one another the way I've loved you. This is the very best way to love. Put your life on the line for your friends. Jesus wants his joy to be in you. My joy, your joy, that's not going to last that long. It's just like happiness. Something goes wrong, oh no. But if Christ's joy is in us, bring it on, world. Whatever happens, I know the end of the story. I know that even in trials and struggles, I will come out stronger as long as I remain connected to him. There is nothing that can stop me or you from enjoying the life we were created to live if we remain in him. That type of joy, that type of confidence, guess what? You are free to make mistakes. You're free to fail. But you will never be a failure because everything that happens to you, you get up and you learn because of who is living in you. But we have a choice. I believe our year, just like our life up to this point, is a direct reflection of the choices we've made. Bad things can happen from the outside. Absolutely. People can sin against you. Sure. People can lie. Absolutely. All of that can happen. Yeah. But who will you be? Who will I be? Jesus did not come in the world to change society. He came to change men and women who make up society. And that is his whole purpose here. He wants to put that in us. Two things I want you to think about. Remaining in him and remaining in his love. They're kind of the same thing. But I want you to stop and think about it. How you view your life, is that a direct extension of your connection to Jesus? The type of husband you are, is that a direct extension of your connection to Jesus? Type of wife, type of mother, type of father, type of worker, type of boss, type of friend, type of disciple, anything. You know, me being connected to Christ is going to be, then my life's an extension of that. If I'm not connected to him, then it's piecemeal. Then I'm no longer useful. You know, something can be not useful, but still valuable. Have you ever noticed that? My car cannot work, but it's still valuable, but it's useless to me. William Barclay says that uselessness invites disaster. Notice what happens. When we are not connected to Christ, we become useless. God doesn't make us that way. We make ourselves that way. We're still looking for a happy new year, but we're not connected to the one that can give us that joy. Three ways people become useless. Number one, they don't connect in the first place. They don't have time to spend with God daily. I'm not talking about legalism. I understand. Why wouldn't you have time? Well, I'm too busy. Something needs to drop out of your schedule. If you don't care that much about God himself and your relationship, you don't even get it. You're not even in the ball game. And you end up being useless. That wasn't God's purpose for you. He wants you. He wants to use you. But you made a decision. I will not be used. I'm not going to take that time. I don't want to read. I don't want to pray. I don't want to ask questions. I don't want to learn. I don't want to do that. I'm too busy. Uselessness invites disaster. You will never know the joy of Christ at that point. Second way that happens is we do just enough to pay lip service to God. We pay lip service. We'll do some things, but we won't really give our heart. We won't really connect all the way. I can go through and assess my spiritual life by maybe coming to church or doing some good things, and those are fine. Those are good. But you know, some people that aren't Christians, people that don't have God, they do some good things too. They have meetings. They come together. What's the big deal? But see, God has a purpose in our lives. He wants to do something. He wants to produce fruit in our lives. But it's His fruit, not my fruit. That's important for me to understand. God, please help people to like me. Someone shared, and you're good. Oh, what great fruit. No, that's my fruit. That's my fruit. What does God want to produce in my life? Well, I tell you what, there's only one thing that God truly, well, I should say two things. Creation is the big thing, but us is that part of creation that's the most important. Anything dealing with men and women, that is of ultimate value to God. So God wants to use my life to somehow make a difference in your life. He wants to use my life to help you become more like Christ. He wants to use your life to do that. That's the fruit He's looking for. He wants us to use our lives for other people to come to know Him. There's nothing greater than that, because one day He's coming back to redeem all of His creation. All of those useful parts of His creation. Those that have chosen to be useful. But lip service, just going through the motions, is not it. That will not do it. I love cabbage. If I were to go out and plant a field, I'd plant some cabbage. If I walked out there and I saw these little midget cabbages come up that are called Brussels sprouts, I'd have a real problem. See, I'm allergic to Brussels sprouts. Right, Denise? Okay. Denise tried to poison me one time. But see, the boy didn't go down. But I'm not going to try it again. I'm allergic to Brussels sprouts. Brussels sprouts is not the fruit I intended. That's not what I was looking for. So me being connected to Jesus, what is He looking for? Well, I got fruit. I said, no, it may be Brussels sprouts. He's looking for cabbage. He's looking for other people that you help know Him. Other people that are growing in Christ because of you. That is the fruit. Because what does that do? That brings mankind to Him before that day. Lip service won't do it. There has to be that connection to Christ. Guess what? None of us can do it in and of ourselves. It's only in Jesus that we do this. The third way that we become useless is we start off great and then we quit. We just quit. We quit. I don't want to be a Christian out of integrity. And let me tell you what I mean by that. Years ago, I said Jesus is Lord. I don't want that to be like a checkmate thing where I no longer have a choice. Okay, well, I said Jesus is Lord, so what do I need to do? I just quit when I said that. I quit. And that's all it is. It's quitting. Rather than, Lord, what can I do? Here am I. Send me. Every example in the Scriptures about somebody that was connected to God, they took initiative. They went after God. That's part of remaining in Him. And they looked for ways to serve God. If I quit, if I started out in flesh, well, I got discouraged. Oh, my goodness, you don't have the joy of Christ in you. Because with the joy of Christ, we get back up. Because it's people will disappoint us. God never will. Life can disappoint us. God never will. He'll make us stand through life. He may not change your situation. He'll just make you a lot tougher than the situation that's there. That's what the joy of Christ is all about here. Are we being useful? Is that a choice we've made? If so, man, we are reading our Bibles. We are praying. We got that time with God every day. We got time with one another. We want to learn. What is the Lord teaching you? Because that is of paramount importance to us. That's what it means to be connected to Christ. Remain in Him. Do His commands. Now, he talks about that in remain in my love. Now, people go, I thought God loves us no matter what. He does. He does. You will always be loved. But you've got to make a choice to remain in all of the blessings of that relationship. Look at Luke 15, the prodigal son. Was the prodigal son quit being loved? No, the father always loved him. Father was always looking for him. But he took himself out of the father's love, went and squandered, and his life reflected that. He was living life outside the love. He did not remain in the love, and the consequences were all on him. When he finally said, I'm back, now he's in the father's love. The father always loved him. But in our relationship with God, it's our choice to live there or to not live there. And what does that mean? We are obedient. We are obedient. We listen for the word of God. You know, Deb typed these different versions of the scripture out. She goes, wow, read these in different versions. And I thought, yeah, man, I'll just read it in, you know, NIV, kind of what I do. But, you know, if you read a lot of scripture, wow, I wonder if people will get, you know, if our attention's. And I thought, oh, my goodness. You see, whenever you read the Word of God, it's incumbent upon you. It's what you want. Do you want to hear it? I told over there, it's up to me to do my best to preach the Word of God and preach that. It may not be interesting to you at times, but any time I read the Bible, that's on you to respond. That's on you to say, I want to obey God. Speak to me. You know why? Because I want to abide in your love. All of the blessing in that relationship only come by obedience. You don't earn it. It's the pathway how to live in it. The prodigal son had to obey the rules of his father's household. He couldn't bring all of the craziness into there and say, it's okay because God loves me. Nope. God's going to protect everyone that wants to live in that love. So he had to come and be obedient. But his obedience put him in all of the blessings of the love of God. Jesus says you need to obey. How hungry are we to obey? I want to close one other scripture here. What did Jesus think when he was teaching this? I think at times, you know, when he looks at me, it's like, wow, Sheridan, I've given you all of the words. I live within you. You got it made. It's only for you to decide to obey. But you know what? Sometimes I've been resistant to that. I want to ask you something. How resistant are you to obeying God? Everything he says. Right now, if your mind went through, oh, but this would cause, guess what? You're just putting yourself outside. Obedience is something we believe. We do it because we believe in God. We trust God. We live for God. God's people, sometimes that's been a challenge. And the results and the consequences came. Ezekiel 33. God tells Ezekiel, verse 30. Now, keep in mind, what's happened is that Ezekiel's part of the first group that were taken off into captivity. Why? They refused to obey. For years, refused to obey. Refused to obey. So God says, okay, let the Babylonians come in. He just said, okay. First group were taken. Then Nebuchadnezzar comes back and deals with Jerusalem, destroys it, takes everyone else. How did this happen? Verse 30. As for you, son of man, your countrymen are talking together about you by the walls and at the doors of the houses, saying to each other, come and hear the message that has come from the Lord. My people come to you as they usually do and sit before you to listen to your words, but they do not put them into practice. With their mouths they express devotion, but their hearts are greedy for unjust gain. Indeed, to them you are nothing more than one who sings love songs with a beautiful voice and plays an instrument well, for they hear your words but do not put them into practice. When all this comes true, and it surely will, then they will know that a prophet has been among them. What's always gotten God's people in trouble and kept them from having a joyful new year has been the refusal to obey the Word of God. It is the Word of God that makes us God's people. It is not anything we do. We're not perfect. We're not any of that. Grace of God will help us and help us to deal with things. But it is God who is the one that empowers us, strengthens us, woos us, yearns for us. But only we can respond. We're going to take the communion here. And I pray that this will be a time of reconnection for everyone here. By the way, in our fellowship of churches, communion is not reserved for the time of confession of sins to God. You confess your sins throughout the week, right? But you can confess your sins to God while you're taking communion. Communion is for us as a body to remember why we're here and what we're all about. Jesus died for mankind. Men and women are of ultimate importance to him. Those that respond to that come together. We acknowledge that. It's our kind of North Star. This is what we're all about. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. We are Christians. We believe he died. His blood forgives us of our sins. We're free. We don't have to be afraid. We're going to live forever, and we can have joy now that no matter what happens, we're going to get through it. That's all because of Jesus, not because of us. And so we recognize that now. We come together, and we encourage one another with that statement of belief and that statement of faith. This body that was broken, this blood that was poured out for us, that is what our life is all about. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time of communion. Open our hearts. Show us where we are, Father, and help your love to just inspire us to come to you with abandon. Father, you've given us life. Please help us not to try and take that away. Thank you for the body of your Son, the blood that was poured out. Thank you that right now in this communion we can remember that. And remember who we are and what we are about. We love you, Lord. You are great. You are amazing. Thank you. In Jesus' name.